on Christmas Eve, yep, I'm going to go back that far, after our two services were complete, our family ventured out to a holiday dinner at the Strader. Then we headed home for our traditional opening of the night before Christmas presents. Since the time the kids were little, like many other families, I'm sure, we open a gift, one gift, each Christmas Eve. And it's always winter PJs. Everybody gets them. And we all put them on before we head off to bed. This year, the gift tags that I purchased to go on the package were these little pop-up cards with a way to tear them apart and find a special, unique message inside. And of course, I gave one to myself, too. And I wrapped each set of PJs in tissue and ribbon, and then I tucked a card into the front of each one with the recipient's name on the card that I wrote there in Sharpie. And so then even I would be surprised, like I knew which pajamas I was getting. I picked out the color I wanted and all that. But I would even be surprised by the message that was inside the gift tag. So with the package in my lap, I held the perforated edges of the card and I ripped mine open. And the quote inside read, "These are the days of miracle and wonder." And I was astonished. The quote was from Paul Simon, maybe you're aware of it, from a song off the album Graceland. "Look, you guys, look at my message. I'm sitting there, I want to show everybody." And of course, no one was paying any attention whatsoever. No one was thinking about my upcoming sabbatical. They were opening their own gifts. They were putting on their pajamas. They were reading their messages, or a few not even caring that they had a card that you opened up and got a message. Later I said, "Didn't you open your card?" No, they didn't bother doing that. I was the only one excited about this message. But it was just right, like some kind of serendipity or some kind of synchronicity. Your choice to decide theologically why I got that message in this moment, right? Because we all do our own theology here. You can figure that out. But these lyrics were from the very music that inspired me to make this particular sabbatical pilgrimage in the first place. The classic record Graceland, which is now 36 years old, is considered one of the best albums of all time. "These are the days of miracle and wonder." I guess the card company chose the quote because it sounds Christmassy. They were little Christmas card things. Yet I understood the message to apply not only to this holiday eve with my family, but to this particular time in which we're living, this time that so often feels really difficult. Like Suzanne spoke about it when she lit a candle. Should I say it out loud? Do you need me to remind you? We've got a political climate in which the small steps forward that we've accomplished are getting rolled back. And we're in an America where human rights abuses are commonplace. They're not even on the front page of the paper anymore. We're living in a period with a daily assault on the idea of truth. And we have a health crisis that is quickly becoming a pandemic. In January, Ron and I would make our journey to Graceland. Not because of any great love for Elvis Presley, but because the intention was pilgrimage. The purpose of pilgrimage is to make meaning of a journey and a destination. So it was so compelling then to learn about how Paul Simon came upon the title for his acclaimed record. His album was really about his journey to apartheid-era South Africa. So this was 1985. And You might remember that time. I don't know if you do. Okay, so apartheid is still going on. And it was controversial that he went there. You might remember this because there was a cultural boycott going on. But Simon wanted to work with some black musicians whose music he loved. Simon was inspired by some South African accordion music that he'd been listening to on a bootleg cassette tape. It's a good thing the kids have all gone now because they would not know what that was. But we used to put music in these little things and then close it and listen to it. It's called a cassette. After his trip, Simon returned from South Africa. He got all the music laid down. And then what he did when he came back to his studio was finish up the album. They were going to need to edit and add the lyrics to the musical tracks that they had just created. So here's what I'm going to quote Paul Simon. He said, "I was talking absurdist lyrics, which I thought had no place with this rhythm track. And finally, I thought," he's talking now about how he did the lyrics for Graceland. "Finally, I thought, maybe it does have a place. I kept singing this chorus, 'I'm going to Graceland, I'm going to Graceland.' And of course, I thought, that'll go away, because the song is not about Elvis Presley or Graceland. I mean, it's a South African record, but it wouldn't go away," he said. "Finally, I thought, it's not going away. I better go to Graceland." That gave the album, the whole album, a larger meaning. It was a metaphor for the state of grace. Now, I didn't discover this explanation until I returned from my trip after I did some more work. I had to write a paper. But now it's helping me make sense of my whole trip. I went to Graceland as the locus of a pilgrimage voyage, but my trip was primarily focused on racial and social justice. After we visited Graceland, which just happened to be another one, you can figure out the theology here, it was Elvis's 85th birthday. So we were there for birthday cake when Elvis would have been 85. And then Ron and I drove to Tupelo, Mississippi, the birthplace of Elvis Presley. Then we drove past Birmingham, Alabama, lots of civil rights sites that I had seen before, so we kept right on going to Montgomery, Alabama, the home of the Montgomery bus boycott. And as Mary read about Rosa Parks, this, by the way, March 1st, this is what? Women's History Month. There you go. That's right. But the Rosa Parks bus stop, it now has a life-size bronze statue standing 30 feet from where she boarded that segregated bus. And that was all intentional, that she decided that she would not stand that day because she had been doing that work with the with civil rights organizations. The reason for our trip to Montgomery was to visit the powerful new Equal Justice Initiative Museum, followed by a slow stroll through the sobering lynching memorial. I don't know, are you aware of that? Have you seen it anywhere? Please come back afterwards. I'm going to show you some photos we took. But the Equal Justice Initiative aims to share the history of racial injustice, racial terror in the case of the period of lynching. The next night, we saw the Bryan Stevenson film, Just Mercy. So Bryan Stevenson is the founder of the Equal Justice Initiative. We read the book here, Just Mercy. And Ron and I went and saw the film while we were there in Montgomery. It was the same theater where the premiere had just taken place earlier that month. Then after we left there, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story. Again, you're going to have to come back because you can see that time is running out. But we drove the 54-mile historic route that's famous for the Civil Rights March that forced the signing of the 1965 Voting Rights Act into law. The highway to Selma is also the same place where Unitarian Universalist Viola Liuzzo, who was a white woman from Detroit, was murdered for helping transport black marchers back to Selma. We walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and I wanted to stand. One of the reasons I wanted to go there is I had been there before, and I wanted to go back and read the scripture that was inscribed on the memorial stone that I had remembered with such intensity from my last visit there. The stone says, "When your children shall ask you in time to come, saying, 'What mean these stones?' then you can tell them how you made it over." Back in Memphis, we visited the enormous Civil Rights Museum that is now was created and attached to the Lorraine Motel, the balcony of which Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. This museum has become a place for remembrance and learning. And we ate barbecue along the way. Yes, vegan me ate even just a little bit, just so I could try it. Mostly I ate the sides, the potatoes, greens, banana pudding, all those things, and they were really good too. It was a wonderful trip, and I'd love to tell you more about it. So I have some photos that I'm going to do a slideshow when you come back. This is the third sabbatical I've taken in my ministry, and sabbatical is a wonderful, needed gift for the kind of work that is ongoing, that's never finished. It's a gift of discovery. Sabbatical is for me and you. What you discover when the minister is not with you is something important too. Sabbatical comes from the Greek of the Sabbath. It takes one away from the usual routine. Shabbat means to rest, and my agreement with you, like the typical UU minister's agreement, provides 1 month of sabbatical for every year that has been worked, and it helps the minister and the congregation do some kind of resetting. In this second half of my sixth year, I've taken just 2 months rather than six. A shorter time away is more manageable for our congregational setting and system. So what else did I do? I wrote a paper about pilgrimage. I'm going to present it next week at my annual study group. I suppose if you're interested, I'll find out when you get back. If you're interested, I can make copies for you to read, but it's a paper, you know. I'm just saying, you may not want to read it, but it's pretty good, so... So let me know, and I will bring you some copies next week. But I'll feel bad if I make copies and you don't get them. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. I spent the rest of the time finishing writing a book, a daily devotional that I'm co-writing with a colleague, a book that's going to be published by Skinner House, the UU publishing arm for UU writers. We have Beacon Press. We also have Skinner House. It's been a lot of work. There were some days that I wrote so much I was kind of doing this at the end of the day. But it's exciting now that it's almost finished. And I will tell you more about it as it gets closer to publication. Actually, as it gets closer, I keep thinking now, like maybe we can do some cool thing where we have some event for when it's published. I can invite my colleague here and maybe I could go there or something. It's going to be really cool, so I'm excited about it, and Skinner House is looking forward to it. Though those things have taken up much of my time, I've had space to do new things, and I was able to visit Mary Ruth Bowman the day before she died, so I'm really glad that our caring team connected with me so that I was able to do that. I sang to her and made plans with the family for her memorial service, and you heard, and we'll get it out to you in writing, too, that it will be 10 a.m. on the 14th. My time away gave me time to recharge and commit to a daily meditation practice that I will maintain, because I've said it to you here. I've cleaned out all my files, both real ones and on my computer. They're still real. So I cleaned those all out. I've been able to read a couple of books all the way through and focus on things I usually don't have time for. It allows me to come back to you with a new kind of vision for the ministry I want to do together. Okay, so I'm almost finished here, but I want to tell you I joined a new Facebook group called Slow Ministry for UU Ministers. Slow Ministry. It's like a crock pot, only it's a Facebook group. Because our culture pushes us to move so fast, we have to be very intentional to slow things down. I'm hoping practicing slow ministry will benefit both of us, because I know that we are all pushed to go fast, right? People that come here searching for a home, who are interested in a different kind of church or a spiritual community of love and justice, where what we do is more important than what we believe, are also likely feeling some of that very same pressure to go fast or to do everything. And though they want to engage, they too don't want to feel overwhelmed with that same cultural pressure that brings anxiety. So I believe that this is a gift that we can give each other, to breathe first and then ask each other what we've learned. So rather than quickly getting back up to speed, I'm going to push against my own impulses to catch up with everything right away, and I'm going to go slow and pay more attention. I think that'll make me a better minister. Now, the card that you have in there, mine has soot all over it from lighting the chalice, but it doesn't matter. I'm inviting you to write on the card and then hand it in to me. I'll have Mary go through and pick them up. So find a pencil in the chair backs that are in front of you or in someone's purse next to you. Don't look in someone else's purse. Ask them to borrow. Ask them to borrow their pen or pencil. I want you to write two things. This is for me. You're going to turn it in. The first one, so maybe you don't pick them up until, it might take them a minute. We'll put them in the offering basket, or maybe we'll pick them up during the closing hymn, okay? The first thing I want you to do is tell me what's happened in your life while I've been gone that you want me to know about. Tell me what you want me to know. In other words, you don't need to tell me the things that you don't want me to know. Just tell me what you want me to know so that I can catch up with you. This will be really good for me. Then the second thing is tell me what you think I should know about what's happened here at UUFD while I've been away. And please sign it so that I'll know it's from you. If it doesn't have a signature, it just doesn't. It loses the meaning. So make sure you put your name on the bottom. These cards will be a gift. Do you remember what the first one, what about what happened to you? And the second one, what happened here that you want to inform me about? Don't worry that someone has already told me, because they may have, but probably not, or they told me a different way. These cards will be a gift to me, and I may not respond individually, but I will be happy to be reconnected with you to the fellowship, and I can include then in general themes that I hear about the congregation when I write or speak. Again, I also so ironic that I come back and I have a cold, right, so that I can't give you the hug I want to give you. But elbows are good, and Mary and I were just talking about how namaste is really a blessing of honoring. So I invite you to come back after coffee so we can talk together, and I will share with you that brief slideshow, and we'll see if I can sing right now. For reasons I cannot explain, there's some part of me that wants to see Graceland. Maybe I have a reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I love you. Amen. And blessed be.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland. Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm